Okay, it is what is today? May
May 6th.
7th. May 7th.
It's May 7th? I thought
Yeah.
it was the 6th.
May 6th. All right, May 6th. You're right. Okay. It's May 6th. The election for France is tomorrow, which is May 7th. I stand corrected. And this is a round table. Nice party round table. And I'm Thomas Robb.
I'm Jason Robb. And we have two other people here.
State your name loud and clear.
Peyton Robb.
Caleb
Robb.
Yeah. Tell you what, Caleb, why don't you get over here a little
closer? Move your chair closer.
A little closer. You might have something really profound we want to hear.
We have Caleb and Peyton Robb. Those are two of my children. Two of my children. Caleb, how old are you, Caleb? 11. And Tayden is 8. So we got them here as part of our co-host.
Yep.
Today.
Rachel is not here today.
She is not. And she's doing some things for the – well, she's trying to get some things caught up because of our conference that we just had last week, our Faith and Freedom Conference. So she is trying to get some things caught up for other associates.
Yeah.
But – yes.
It's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yes. We
prior to the conference, last minute stuff, trying to get done, scheduling and preparation at the center.
But yeah, we had our Faith and Freedom Conference last week. We did not have a show because we were right in the midst of our conference, and it was a great conference. It was a great conference. And if you're listening and you were not there, you really missed out a great one. Now, the theme was Onward Christian Soldiers.
People, I don't know. It's hard to understand thinking of people, but a lot of times people don't see the need of coming to a conference.
Well, I think what it is people have now gotten their social contact, you know, talking to people and just voicing their anger or voicing their frustration or just talking to other like-minded people through Facebook, through the media. The social network. And so the desire to go to a conference where you're talking about major issues and talking about that stuff, it's not there anymore. It's not as much. That desire is not there because they can get on social media every day and talk about these issues.
Right, and kind of satisfy their loneliness.
Right.
If that's the case, not everyone is lonely.
No.
I didn't mean that. But the point I'm getting at is that unfortunately, it doesn't involve the family. The internet experience is just a solitary.
Exactly.
One person get on the internet. It doesn't involve the family and the husband or the wife or the kids. That a conference can't provide that social structure for them also.
Well, the reason the conferences are so important, and I think we always have great conferences because it's always surrounded around the family. And so when a person is going to a conference, you know, the kids knows what's going on. The spouse knows what's going on. They're getting a car. They're making an effort to drive. They're showing an importance of this movement. They're showing an importance on the conferences. And so when they're physically driving and they're talking about it, you're engaging in conversations about politics, about race, about our culture. Because when you're going to a conference, that naturally happens.
And then when they're coming home, usually people are pumped up.
Right.
And the kids are going to be observing that pump-up status.
Exactly.
State. And it begins to excite them and building them enthusiasm.
Right. Yeah. It really is. And so our conferences, we always have great conferences because it's always surrounded the family. And this last one, the Faith and Freedom Conference, we had some wonderful speakers. Our keynote speaker was Pete Pop Hercules, who is from Washington, D.C. He's a correspondent with American Free Press.
He gave him dynamics. Talk.
Yeah.
And educational, too.
Yeah, educational. Talk a little bit about his background, how he became racially aware of the issues of the day. He also talked about his personal life, and he was a successful contractor. And so that was kind of really interesting about him being a successful contractor. He knew something was wrong. He knew there was something going on that he just couldn't pinpoint it. And then he started educating himself and started searching and start trying to find out what was going on. And that's how I kind of became involved in the racialist cause.
So American Free Press.
American Free Press, yeah.
Louis Cocteau then became not just an employee, he became a very close personal friend of Louis Cocteau.
Right.
And a lot of people, I know people don't know who Louis Cocteau is, and that's okay. Because he's not on a postage stamp or on the Sports Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, he's died a couple years ago. And so there are new people listening to this broadcast who is just now racially aware of what's going on. And they may not know who Willis Cardo is. You know, right. So go to American Free Press, type in Willis Cardo. Very dynamic man, dedicated his life to this cause. And, of course, Dad, you were blessed enough to give the eulogy at his funeral in Washington, D.C., which is, to me, is a very, very great honor because, that just says a lot of how much respect he had for you and his organization. And but kind of going back to our conference, Pete, he was here, and he's from Greece. He's originally from Greece. And so he was here talking, and, of course, we had you, Dad, and Rachel talking, Rachel Pentagraph. We had Brendan Warner, originally from South Africa, and
Tom Bowie,
who's been involved in politics with the American Freedom Party. And we also had Steve Kukla from Oklahoma, who's a gospel singer and Bible scholar that was here. And so we just had a great time, great entertainment, heritage connection. And so everything's always surrounded the family. The whole conference is always surrounding the family. And so we just had really a great time. And so our next conference, dealing with the NICE Party, is the NICE Party Leadership and Family Conference coming up on Labor Day weekend.
That's September 1, 2, and 3.
September 1, 2, and 3.
That's an easy date to remember.
Just mark it on your calendar.
Mark it on the calendar.
Mark it on your calendar. So now, Caleb and Tayton, what was one of the things you liked about the conference this year, the one we had just a week ago?
The talking.
You liked about the talking? Who specifically do you like about the talking? Was there a particular person?
Tom Bowie.
You
like Tom Bowie?
And the other one? Stuck at the house.
Oh, well, and people may not know this, but
that did the conference, but it happened at the same time.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain here in the Ozarks.
Yeah, the creeks got high. Yeah. There's an old country song where the senator, I think with Johnny Cash, where he asked, "How high is the water, mama?" And then the reply comes back, 2 feet high and rising. But if you're not from the South, you don't know what that means, but the creeks can rise very fast and makes them impassable. So the song says, "How high the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising." That's again, "How high is the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising." So that's what happened in your house.
It did. And so some of the kids got stuck, and they, because of course I like that, I kind of consider it an adventure.
Yeah.
But so Caleb, you like Tom Bowie, his speech, And Tom Bowie, I think the reason he liked him because he had his suit on, and then he took his dress shirt off and he had a T-shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
And I forgot what the saying.
Politics.
Yeah.
And it had to do with the T-shirt had something to do with his speech.
Yeah.
He just didn't take shirt off.
Right. And the shirt underneath says something about politics and race or something like that. I can't remember what it said.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a really crowd pleaser. Everyone really liked that.
Yeah.
So now, Tayton, what about you? What did you like about the conference?
Got stuck at the house.
Okay. Well, and besides that, because I know that's kind of an adventure with raining and the creeks rising, so that was kind of fun. That's all right. That's all right. So you're the big brother. You're the big brother. Tayton, so anything else you like there? Can you think of something at the conference? Anything outside or anything like that? Did you like?
What about the food?
Yeah, that's also my favorite.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of kids outside playing and on the playground equipment, so I know that was fun.
Oh, well, I tell you, we started out with biscuits and gravy Saturday morning, and then we had the hot dogs and hamburgers at noon. And then we had spaghetti. Oh, that was good spaghetti for supper.
Good,
and
yeah.
Pancakes the next morning. And then the buffet type Sunday afternoon. It was
good.
A lot of good food.
It was really good. Really
yeah.
Good. Really good. And one thing I like about the conference, you know, of course, all the conferences have is we always have flags everywhere. We have flags, flagpoles all over the campgrounds and all the different national flags, you know, Europe and Confederate flags and American flags. And we just have flags everywhere and it makes a really festival. And so, anyway, that's always
there. I know it's the flags. Who took them down?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just hadn't thought about it until just now.
Right.
The flags have all been taken down, so.
Probably Tom Bowie.
One of volunteer people came in, maybe
yeah.
Tom Bowie or
Brainerd.
Somebody
yeah.
came in and took the flags down, put them all. We couldn't take them down that day because they're all wet from the rain.
Absolutely.
And, of course, they're mold. So you said, well, we'll get them after they dry out. But I guess somebody took them down.
Yeah.
They're down.
So, well, it's always nice because we have great staff here and we got a great amount of volunteers that always come out. And a lot of them can't volunteer all the time, but they can come out for 1 or 2 hours and do little things here and there. So it just helps lighten the load. So
yeah.
it was really good. It's really nice.
I tell you, let's switch gears here, unless you got something else to say. But there's a big election going on tomorrow in France.
France.
And I mean, this is a big deal.
It is very big.
Because Marine Le Pen, she's more of a white nationalist than Donald Trump.
Oh, absolutely.
And she is possibly going to win that election tomorrow.
Well, they're concerned.
The Russians are trying to hack it.
Yeah. Well, they're concerned. Yeah. They're going to steal the election, like you know, like Donald Trump's
whatever
election. Whatever
doesn't go their way, they blame it on the Russians.
Right. Well, and you're right. They are really concerned because they laughed at Donald Trump. That he had no way he was going to win. All the polls were for Hillary. Everything was for Hillary.
Well, they trashed his support so bad.
Sure.
People were embarrassed to say they were for Trump.
What they do is they self-censor individuals.
Yeah.
People are afraid to talk openly and publicly about it because they don't want to be laughed at and scoffed at.
Absolutely.
And so people...
We find that with the Klan.
Yeah. So polls were all in favor of Hillary Clinton. And then on election night, it just was a totally... reverse. And he had the rule votes coming out. And so they're concerned and they're aware of that great possibility. Yeah, they're aware.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
The people that support Le Pen are considered uneducated, you know.
Right.
They're considered mainly the men. The women aren't going to support her. It's the same thing. And yet here in America, white women did support Donald Trump. And, the college educated did support Donald Trump, and more so than Hillary Clinton.
Well, and they put their propaganda that you know, this election is not about fear. You know, this election is about
hope.
Yeah, hope and solidarity, and have a diverse population. I mean, and so they're very much afraid of Le Pen because when they do these polls, they do the polls in your major cities. You know, where you have more of your non-whites. But these polls, for the most part, are not being taken in your rural votes out in the countryside of France, and they don't do that.
And then people that are for Trump stay silent.
Right. And so they're very much
for Le Pen in
right.
this case.
So they're very much afraid of that, and they know that there's going to be a huge turnout in this election,
probably the largest turnout that France has.
Right. And the reason they're concerned about Marie Le Pen is because she really is a white nationalist. Her father,
Jean Le Pen,
was obviously an open white nationalist.
Yes.
And
they had representatives speaking at the David Duke conferences in New Orleans.
Right. And so you have this basically uprising of your whites, seeing all the Muslim invasion coming in France and... you know, all the bombings that's happening in Paris. And so they see what diversity causes.
Yeah, absolutely. It isn't pretty.
No.
It isn't pretty. So people are going to come out for Le Pen, I believe. I think they'll be surprised. And the thing is, when Le Pen gets elected, which hopefully she will, France is leaving the EU.
Right.
And England, France, and Germany were the big dogs in the EU.
Mm-hmm.
And England's already left.
Right.
Now they're leaving France and Germany the big dogs.
Right.
And if France leaves, Germany stands alone.
Right.
And I don't think German people are then going to want to support the EU all by themselves.
Yeah, because they'll have to pay for it.
Yeah. So, and there's a, it's not as powerful as in France, or but there is a backlash in Germany.
Right.
To the policies of Merkel and the other globalists in Germany. So there is a white nationalist awakening happening all through Germany also.
Right.
And it hasn't got a foothold yet like it had in France, and but it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, white people in general are waking up. You know, they see what's happening. They're seeing their homelands being invaded. They see this, extreme multiculturalism happening in front of their eyes. And the enemy, the multicultural crowd, they're not being silent about it. They're being very bold. And because they're being bold about it, that's, I think, one of the reasons, why people, if you want to use that general term in Europe, and even here in even the United States, they are. I think that's why they're rising up, because they do see the boldness of the multiculturalism of the crowd. They're not being silent, and they're being demanding, They're demanding their cultures be accepted, and the traditional culture of Germany or France or English not be accepted.
Right. Well, I think our co-host probably did. Before they leave, do you have any last words you want to say? No last words? Like,
goodbye.
How about saying, love your God?
Love your God and love your people.
Very good.
What about Tate?
What about you, Tate?
God, love your people.
All right.
Very good.
Okay. They've been good co-hosts today.
Good job, guys.
All right. We'll see you later.
And so,
shut the door tight. All right. Now we're done, just two of us. What are we going
to
do?
The other two, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is really, it's exciting times that we are living in, seeing people waking up. I think that, like you were talking about it before, Dad, the supposedly the Russians, hacking,
before France. The election, they're already blaming the Russians for their loss.
Yeah, it's like they already see the handwriting on the wall.
And they got to blame somebody.
Right. And so I think that's why
I haven't been that people actually reject their policy.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's why they're really concerned, because they're kind of having already a plan that if they lose, this is why. Because the Russians meddling in our elections, in another country.
And of course, the United States, they meddled in Germany's election a couple years ago.
Right.
Nobody remembers that.
Yeah.
Didn't they put a bug or a wire on Merkel's?
Yeah, Obama. Yeah, the CIA, I think it was. They had bugged Merkel's cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they were able to get, communications, but with Merkel and some of her staff.
But nobody wants to remember that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just hilarious.
So the point is, even if Russia is, even if they did try to fit, and I can see them favoring Trump.
Right.
Because Putin is an anti-globalist.
Exactly.
And he's looking for allies in his battle against globalism.
Yeah.
So I can see why he would want Trump to win. I can see why he would want Le Pen to win. I can see why he would want Brexit to Britain to leave the EU.
Right.
And I can see why he wants to support other upcoming political parties who are the enemies of globalism. So I can see why he would want to influence the election. I don't know if he did or not, but I can see why he would. The point is that every country does that.
Every country.
I mean, that's what countries do, And
you can't tell me that with an election in Russia that the United States is not trying to, you won't use that word, influence.
Yeah.
The people voting for the other side or their policies or putting stuff on the internet or whatever the case
may be. And if you want to get extreme, isn't that what, when I say United States, I'm not talking about the good citizens of the United States, but the governmental policy. Is that what they're trying to do in Syria?
Yeah.
Exactly. They're trying to influence the leadership of Assyria.
Right.
So, you know, it's all Russia trying to influence. Big, who cares?
Yeah. Isn't that what free speech is supposed to be about?
Yeah.
I mean, so, we're looking from that standpoint.
And there's no evidence that they changed any votes.
No.
So it's like they actually tampered the election voting booths. And if Russia, even Russia did, the limit of their involvement would have been, as I understand it, was the WikiLeaks deal. But Hillary Clinton, she's the one that came up with the unsecure servers and so forth. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Russians.
Right.
So, anyway, politics is fun.
It is. It is. So anyway, I would hope that people, they're listening to this today and tonight. I hope they, pray about the results for France tomorrow. Pray that. The French people will be courageous in going to voting, because there's so much propaganda that, if you vote for Le Pen, that then we're going go into the Dark Ages.
And depression.
Depression. And so, people are easily influenced.
They said that about Trump.
Right.
And just the opposite is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, hopefully, people will pray about that. Pray for Le Pen. And if she doesn't win, pray that the people will continue to be vocal and continue to be activist.
Yeah.
Because there'll be another election,
Another one. Yeah.
And maybe that will be the one that they'll be successful on.
Right.
If they're not successful on this one. And it's really a numbers game. It comes right down to it. And so we all need to be praying about.
Well, people are stirring about the these terrorists, that the terrorism that happens throughout the world, but in France recently, every time that happens, it bolsters their support.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
And their system of government is a little different than ours. They've already got people in government.
Right.
I don't know what the percentage is, but they've got people in government. Marine Le Pen's niece is in government. She's one of the senators in the French government.
Mm-hmm.
Because this system is what we call parliamentary.
Parliamentary, where everyone gets a part of
a percentage. You get a percentage of vote, electoral vote, then you get that percentage of seats in Congress.
Right.
So political parties win over there so often, not because they are the majority, they're just the largest of the minorities.
Right.
In other words, you might get 20% of the vote, where 80% of the people voted against you or another party, but you got the largest block, say 20% or 25%, and you might be the one who actually runs the government then, even though you got a minority, you didn't get a majority vote.
Right.
And they formed their coalitions with other parties and so forth and to put up the governments to get it established.
Or if you have like a kind of House of Representatives there, then you get a percentage of, you get 10... congressmen, hypothetically, in the Congress over there. So you get a percentage of people that runs in your party that gets to be, lawmakers. So, the parliamentary system is totally different over there, and that's why you really can have new political parties starting overnight and
gaining ground
in an election
and
win some seats.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like here in the United States, the winner takes all.
Either win or lose.
Right.
And if you lose more than once or twice, then you consider perennial candidate. And, the chance of ever mounting a successful campaign is very difficult.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're looked upon as a loser.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now, over in France, the election is being held tomorrow. Now, they're like 6-7 hours ahead of us. So, over in France, right now, it's like, right here, we're Saturday morning, about 9:30. Over there is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Probably something like that.
4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, and the reason I'm saying that is because when it's midnight here, Central Time, that means, as I understand it, the polls are just starting to open up, maybe over in France. And so we'll know who won the French election sometime, probably middle of the afternoon tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe we wake up. They may have exit polls already. And we
got
to remember that France is not as big as the United States. Everyone thinks of a country like the same size as the United States.
Yeah.
France is just be like Well, it wouldn't be the size of Texas, you know?
Yeah.
It could be like the size of Oklahoma or the size
I'm not sure how big it is, but you're right.
It's a smaller geographic and not as much population.
Well, all of Europe could fit in the United States.
Right. So it's one of those things that you could wake up tomorrow and say, okay, this is who the winner is.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's quite possibly could happen that way. But, yeah, it'll be very exciting if he becomes the president of France, you know, and then you're really going to start seeing a coalition going on. Now, I think you're going to start seeing other countries in Europe that will start being more and more bold. And all that does, it really legitimizes everything that the white nationalist cause have been doing for years and years and years. Because for decades, the white resistance have always been the forefront, talking about the destruction of our culture and our heritage and how diversity is not our strength. Diversity is the downfall of our culture.
But successfully have manipulated people to repeat those words.
Right.
Diversity is our strength. And like, stop and think. Someone has diversity ever been a strength?
Exactly.
There's never unity is strength.
Right. But the thing is the white resistance have always been saying that. And for years and decades, people kind of scoffed at the white resistance or saying, oh, you're just alarmist or nothing's happening on all that. And they now start seeing what we've been saying when I talk about years, I'm talking about decades, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. I mean, this has been going on for a long time here in the United States. But this is what white resistance have been saying for all this time. And now I really believe we're seeing the fruits of our labor. Mm-hmm. We're seeing what is happening, and what we've been talking about and saying and preaching for all these years and decades, people are now starting to see that. And so when you start seeing, the results of like Donald Trump and the Brexit vote and the popularity of France, Marie Le Pen, and some of these other Eastern European countries like Latvia and Estonia.
Yeah.
All
and
of these.
The Alternative German Party in Germany.
Right.
That is growing.
And so when we see all these countries doing that, it really does legitimize the white resistance because they're saying the exact same thing that we say. And now when they say it and we say, the average person is not like looking at you like, oh, you're an alarmist, you're weird. Yeah. Now they're like, well, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, that gives me so much hope because now when we talk to people, it's not falling on deaf ears.
Right.
They're accepting it. They're because they hear it all the time. They hear it from the media talking about how evil and bad that, Donald Trump is because he's against the border and Donald Trump is.
They voted for him. So, well, wait a minute. That's me.
Exactly. And so that's.
I'm a racist too, you mean? Yeah. I'm a racist over Trump and I'm over Trump. Does that make me a racist?
Right.
And they may not think of themselves as that because, racist has such a strange interpretation because, people so often interpret it means that if you're racist, it means you hate minorities. And I personally don't know anyone who hates people just because they're a minority. In many ways, a racist is just somebody who cares and wants to preserve their heritage and culture.
Well, you've been saying now that racist now is not someone that hates white people. Racists are people that...
Yeah, mixed up.
Oh, that's right.
It used to be a racist was somebody who hated black people.
Hate black people.
You have black people, you're a racist.
Right.
Now, if you don't hate white people, you're a racist.
Right.
If you have pride in your race, your white race, they're calling that prioritizing.
Yeah.
You're prioritizing your race over other people, therefore you hate other races.
So you're racist.
Yeah. So the only way you can prove that you're not racist is to hate your own people.
Exactly.
And yet people buy into that so often. Not the majority of people, but there are people buying into it. And so it's amazing how the trick they can pull on people.
Mm-hmm.
And successfully so.
Right. And so that's why, the media and the extremists, the left extremists, they're concerned. I truly believe they are concerned because they see this revolt with the white people in general. They know that these different terminologies is not as powerful as it used to be. People are talking about these issues. And, yes, they're forced to be talking about these issues, but they're talking about the issues regardless.
Yeah, and, again, back to the same thing that's mentioned before, the media that tell racists, only a very small minority of the American population is racist. You know, they're the extremists, they're the Klansmen, the neo-Nazis, the white dashers. They're the racists, just a small little percentage of the population. And now they're saying, everybody voted for Donald Trump is a racist. So now they're saying, racists are everywhere.
Right.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. Well, Hillary Clinton called them the deplorables.
Yeah. And so they expanded our acceptance almost overnight.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's in, you know, so when they talk about that, you know, I think as the Nice Party, you know, as Klansmen and Klanswomen, people that are sympathetic to our cause, it should give them more boldness. It should give them the ability to talk to people more openly about race, about politics. And you don't have to say, you know, in your conversations, hey, I'm a Klansman. Let's start talking about this. But you don't even have to even mention about being Klansman. But you can openly start talking about race.
Yeah, and people
are not going to all of a sudden you start talking about race, like, shy away from it. They're going to be talking right along with it, you know. And so that's where it gives me hope. It gives me personally being more bold, and I think it should give everyone more boldness to talk about these issues. You know, everything from politics to immigration to our money system and America First, and I mean all this stuff that's being talked about. It's not a hush hush situation or conversations anymore. I mean, these are being talked about 24/7, and so people are used to it now. And so it should give all of our associates out there that unique opportunity to start talking about it. And because when people start talking about race, about and loving their culture and heritage, you can definitely easily steer that conversation to about loving your race and loving your culture and your heritage and what we see them, you know, trying to take down our monuments.
You know, that's the major weapon they've used against people.
Right.
When somebody gets accused of being a racist, that kind of silences them, and they're afraid to speak up because they've been accused of being a racist. But it becomes a point now where people don't care.
Right.
Call me a racist. And when you take away that tool away from the enemy, they have nothing else to throw to them.
Yeah. Well, because before it's like, you're racist. No, no, I'm not racist. And they backpedal. But now when people say you're racist, okay, well, call me whatever name. Let's get to the issues.
Yeah,
it's like now they don't know what to do. literally, you're just a racist. You're a bigot. Okay, you won't call me a bigot. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about what does that have anything to do about loving our people or preserving our culture or whatever? Because they don't know what to say after that.
Well, name calling is what children do.
Right.
And when you don't have an argument, when you don't have a profound, credible argument, then you do the name calling. And name calling is meaningless.
Right.
And so people hear that name calling and it doesn't affect them the way it used to. I mean, it still affects millions of people.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
But the more and more so people, I see newscasters on TV basically saying the very same thing about you. Well, whatever, you know.
Right.
And when you take that attitude and continue moving forward, when you take that away from out of their toolbox of weapons, there's nothing left for them.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I know when, you know, we have news stories, you know, dealing with the Knights and our involvement, you know, racial politics and activism and stuff like that, or asking about issues regarding the white resistance. You know, I mean, they don't even just start talking about, well, yours is racist. Or anything like that. I mean, they really legitimately are wanting to know our viewpoints on politics and race. And
right.
I mean, they don't really do the name calling anymore. I mean, yeah, they might say, you know, white supremacists and stuff like that. They'll always say that. But once that terminology goes on the wayside, they really then start asking about, you know, just the issues of the day.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time now, you know, with news reports and the media that is conducted, here, at the headquarters. Mm-hmm. And so when the reporters come out and journalists and students are doing, interviews and stuff like that here, they're actually wanting to know our viewpoint and our statements on what's happening with, the racial politics. And so those are all dialogues that are just now open. They're not quiet anymore. Everyone's just talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not something like everyone being silent about.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something that, we so often are concerned that if we say something that people are going to look at as weird, just simply because, you want to talk about race, and now it's not considered weird or taboo. It's right. It's just out in the open.
Yeah, the Muslim invasion of the country helped
bring
that awareness. The illegal aliens come across our border helped bring that awareness. Hillary Clinton called people deplorables, and people started putting that on T-shirts.
Right.
She put it down as a put down, and they took it as a badge of honor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm a deplorable. I'm one of the deplorables. I saw numerous T-shirts and people wearing them in town, and bumper stickers.
Right.
They took what she thought was going to shame people into silence, and it emboldened them.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then they see, the attack on the Confederate flag. They see the attack on the different Southern monuments. They see the attack on the American flag. I was reading something, it was a post that they are now, I think this is in Louisiana, I don't know if it's in New Orleans or something like that, but there's a statue of Joan of Arc, and they're now claiming that as a racist symbol.
Well, of course.
Joan of Arc, the thing
is... Do you have any doubt?
I guess so. She was white.
She's racist.
She must be racist, but it all of that just shows of this hatred upon just white people. They want us to not exist. Yeah. And that's what comes right down to.
The OK sign now being racist.
Yes. Oh yeah.
We can't show it on the radio, but people know the OK sign. It'll be circling
circle, and then you got your three fingers up. Okay.
Yeah.
But now that's considered a racist symbol because with your three fingers up, that makes a W.
That's what they're claiming.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. Right. And then the circle is the O of the P, so you have white power, which does not make no sense. It's not a racial symbol.
It's been around for years.
Years, but...
Donald Trump speaks a lot of time. When he speaks, he says that, or not says that, but forms his hands in that okay symbol, and they're claiming that's racist.
And people people do that all the time.
Yeah.
But that shows how afraid they are and a conspiracy they are because they think that that's a racist symbol. Or they the other symbol I'm trying to remember is the something that makes a four makes some other numbers, but I can't remember what that was.
Uh-huh.
But anyway,
14.
You
put your finger and you put the thumb becomes a one, your four fingers were supposed to be four,
right?
And so it's supposed to be like a 14.
14.
Thumbs up.
It's like when everyone says, good job, thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's supposedly a racist symbol because it makes it one and four. So 14.
That's crazy.
It really is. And so, you're talking about the other thing.
It's supposed to be 14. 14 is supposed to be from some words that's, and I'm not even sure I can say it correctly, but we will defend the rights of white people.
Yeah, we must secure the existence of our people and our
future for white children.
Future for white children.
And those are 14 words. And so the thumbs up sign is the four fingers and thumb being a one, making 14, which is supposed to be this way of saying the 14 words.
Right.
But the 14 words, as they talk, didn't come about until about 20-some years ago.
Right.
And the thumbs up, they're wrong since they were Rome.
Yeah, exactly.
So, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And maybe even before that, I don't know.
Right. And so it's one of those things that they're so paranoid.
Well, the Bible says the wicked flees, but no man pursueth. They shatter. That's why they're called snowflakes. They can't stand any pressure at all, and they just fall apart. These safe places.
Oh, you know? Safe zones in colleges. Yeah. They have safe zones, and you know, and then counseling for every little thing. You know, I mean, so it's yeah, it really is. They're paranoid. They're afraid of everything. Like you said, snowflakes. That's just an excellent word for them.
This is interesting. I did not see this, but Mom saw this on TV yesterday. She flipped to the TV, came across a Jimmy Swagger show.
Right.
Okay. Now, we're not big fans of Jimmy Swaggart. You know, I want to say that up front. But this is kind of interesting because Donnie Swaggart, Jimmy Swaggart's son, he's up in his 50s. He was speaking yesterday, and he said that, paraphrase what he said, he said, I want people to know that my mom and dad are getting up in years. But I want people to know that when they pass on, we're not changing our position. We're not changing. We're not going to modernize ourselves. And then he went on to say that, because he's fundamentally conservative.
Right.
And he said, I want people to say, he said, you cannot be a Democrat and be a Christian at the same time.
Yeah.
He said, I'm sorry. That sounds, maybe people might be taken back by it. But the point is, there used to be a time you could be a Democrat, good Southern Democrat, and be a Christian. Not anymore.
Right.
If you're a Democrat, you can't be a Christian because Democrats are for abortion, they're for gay rights, and he named various other things. And so you can't believe those things and be a Christian.
Right.
I just thought that was interesting.
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, people are becoming alarmed. People, political awareness is rising. And people are really concerned about the future of this country. And that's the reason Donald Trump got elected. That's why Marine Le Pen is popular in France. Because in France, people care about their country. They want to make France great again.
Yeah.
And there is this awakening going on worldwide. It's a worldwide phenomenon. Australia, you've got the Paul hands with the One Nation movement. You know, not as popular in Le Pen, but nevertheless gaining ground. And you got the Danish People's Party, the third largest party in Denmark, is a very nationalist party. So there is this awakening going. So people need to understand that they can be a part of, they want to be a part of something great,
right.
You know. They can be a part of something great. You don't have to be silent anymore. You don't have to be intimidated. You can become recognized. You can be bold and take on upon your shoulders and therefore onto your with your children a great cause.
Right.
And you know Charles Martel defended Europe from the invading Moors, and people went through his army and became soldiers in that defense of Europe. Well, we're facing, once again, we're facing the defense of Europe and the defense of America. And people can come to the battle. I don't mean literally a battle where people are fighting, but they can't, who knows?
It's getting to that point.
Yeah. And they can take on this cause and embrace it. And that'll be powerful for your children.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and with that, it's slightly changing a little bit of subjects here, but, you know, if you're listening to this, and this is really more for a younger crowd, you're listening to this on your laptop or whatever, we have redesigned, reformatted all of our shows, programs, White Pride Radio, to the Knights Party, to the Christian Revival Center. Now everything's mobile friendly. So if you have a cell phone, a smartphone, everything is now mobile friendly, so you can listen to the show. You can watch our White Resistance News and Wake Up America shows all on your smartphone. And so that is something I think is a tremendous tool, a great outreach project to put that on social media, let people know, because now they can get on their cell phones. So many people don't even get on their laptops anymore. They have their cell phones and everything's on their cell phones. And so now you can type in White Pride Radio. You can type in all these shows and listen and you know, spread the word, social
people
media.
People need to use the power of social media to spread the word.
Right.
Don't people don't care what you had for supper last night.
Right.
You know. So spread the word. And you don't even have to say you're for it.
Right.
If you don't, you know, say
this is this is interesting.
Absolutely,
that's it. Yeah,
these Klan people, they went naturally, become bold. They're all over the place. Look at here, what I found on on the internet.
Yeah. And so often, just sharing something, you don't even have to make a statement. You just share it.
Right.
And people see it and share it, go, and they just automatically like, huh, okay, well, let's see what this is.
Yeah.
People are just used to sharing stuff without even making any comment.
Right.
That if you're sharing stuff about, you know, white resistance news, if you're sharing things about dealing stuff with the Klan, then people are not going to say, well, what is this stuff? You know, or what is this crap, or get upset with you. They're going to look at it and click on it because they're just interested about it.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. So people, your younger crowds and even the older crowd that use social media, get your smartphones and use your smartphones to continue listening to White Resistance News, to the Knights Party Roundtable, all the various shows that we have throughout the week on your social media. And so use your smartphone. It is a tremendous device now that we have, and take that and use that as an advantage, you know.
Yeah.
If you're kind of afraid, then, you know, get your earphones, plug into your smartphone, and you can watch it, you know, and listen to it with your headphones on, and no one knows what you're listening to.
Right.
You know, but you gotta stay connected, you know, and if you're a member of the Knights Party, that's part of staying connected and being involved in this cause, being aware what the organization is doing and what activities are going on and the conferences that's going on and literature distribution and all this stuff you're a part of. And that's how you help support this organization, by listening, watching, and of course donating.
Right.
None of this is free. This is all something that we are doing to help reach our people. And we need our faithful supporters. We need people out there who can contribute $5, $10, $15, $20, you know, a week. And people that have good incomes, they need to get really behind it. They need to get, you know, they need to have their tithe. They need to donate to this cause. And, you know, it's just something that all of us are able to do. And so often, you know, people say, I don't know what to do. Well, donating is probably the biggest factor you can do.
Absolutely. And it's a shame. It's a shame. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you need to think about it. It's a shame that there will be people who spend more money a month. They claim they want white power, they want a future for their children, and they'll spend more money on cigarettes or video games or video movies or just some other wasteful pursuit than they put into the cause.
Right.
And so people really need to consider, we have a future. We can't have a bright future. We have a dismal future. It's all what we decide. And our children are going to face, will either enjoy the consequences of our actions or they'll suffer the consequences of our actions.
Right.
So people really need to consider that.
Absolutely. And talking directly to our members, they need to be consciously aware of this great organization. I mean, obviously there are members and stuff like that, but they need to be consciously aware what really sets the Knights apart from almost every other racialist organization. And I'm just going to name a few. One is, we have a physical location, a physical place where we have conferences. We have a physical headquarters. We have a physical place where you can come for conferences. We have a newspaper that is published for literature distribution. We have a place where the media comes out on a weekly basis. And I am, you know, we're not lying about it. On a weekly basis, we have media coming from other countries, journalists that are coming here doing interviews with the headquarters. And so we are constantly doing interviews. And as the Knights representing the white resistance, we're constantly doing interviews. So we have those outreach projects, and we have massive literature distribution that we do all the time. Members all the time are downloading our literature from the websites, or they're ordering flyers. And so we have literature distribution all the time. We have an office staff, you know. We have abilities where people can purchase items, you know, regarding not only the Klan, but just racial issues. And so these are just a few of the things. Of course, we have White Resistance News. We have
the Alt-Right TV.
Alt-Right TV. We have billboards. I mean, these are things that the Knights Party has. And you really can't look at any other racial organization that can say they have the exact same thing. Because they don't. They have maybe a media presence. They may have an internet page. And that's it. But they don't have publication. They don't have a location to hold meetings. They don't have an office staff. They don't have a building. They can't have conferences at a specific place where families can come and be safe. They don't have any of these things. And that's why members specifically, you need to be really aware what a great thing you being a part of the Knights have. I mean, you're involved
with
the
difference they can make.
Absolutely.
The difference they can make. So, you know, somebody who just joins the Knights and hadn't seen the landscape of the white nationalist movement, probably what you just said, Jason, sounds like you're probably just empty words because they just don't know. But they're not empty. That's the reality.
Yeah, right.
There is no other white national organization that has an actual location you can go to.
Right.
You meet with them, and a reporter want to meet with them. They meet in a restaurant, or they meet here at a motel, or a conference room at a motel, or something like that. They don't have their own secure, and I want to emphasize that, secure national office that has an office, cabins for people to stay in when they come into our conferences, a beautiful grounds that they can relax in and enjoy the fellowship with other people, a beautiful conference center or a church we have here. Then the papers and the internet presence and the contact with the media. There's no doubt that this is the epic center of the white nationalist movement.
Right.
And people need to appreciate that. They understand that we don't have power yet. You know, sometimes people say, well, why do they keep asking for money? We're not in power yet.
Exactly.
The enemy's still in power.
Right.
So our expenses are continually going and growing. And so until we secure a future for our children, then the battle continues.
Well, so often people, if they type in, you know, whatever website was so-called racial website, they think that that's the organization. It's not an organization. It's a website.
Yeah.
You know, so you can find a lot of racial websites out there, and that's all it is. They're websites, but they don't have an organization, and they don't have members. They don't have...
And anybody can have a slick website.
Right.
Even the lonely guy living in mother's basement can have a slick website.
Absolutely. And so that's...
And there are some out there like that.
Right.
We won't name any names, but there are some like that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. We have... I mean... It's an organization, a legitimate organization, and a organization that people can be proud of.
Duly incorporated the state of Arkansas.
Right. And so it's really an organization that people can be proud of, an organization that has been around over 50 years, very stable, legitimate. And I know some people want to say, well, now you're just really bragging, but we are experts in this field. We are experts in racial politics. And this is something that our members are quite aware. The leadership here and the people that's involved, that's surrounded with headquarters, they're experts in this field, and because they're doing this 24/7. They've been involved for years and years and years. So not people that just have been involved for 1 or 2 years and says, I see what's going on and I want to join. And that those people are needed. But when we're talking about the leadership of the Knights. I mean, we've been involved for decades, and so the enemy knows that we're not people that's just going to be fly-by-nights and going to be gone 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And when you have a physical structure, physical buildings, places where people will meet, that is a sign of you're not going a fly-by-night. That is a secure place people know, oh, you're here for the long haul.
Yeah, that's a sign of stability.
Right. Oh, exactly.
And it's also a sign of your support and
right.
growth and so on.
And so we have great members. We have great associates out there nationwide that are behind this effort. And that's why the Knights are so successful in what we do nationwide. And the enemy knows that. They know our potential. And so that's what really what sets the Knights apart from all of these other, you know, if you want to call it racial organizations. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, there's not that many racial organizations out there. There are web pages, but those are not organizations, you know, and there is a big difference. And sometimes I don't think people understand that. They look on a web page and they think that's a presence. And I'll give you,
sometimes people say, well, I don't want to join an organization. Well, you know, or I say organizations don't go to it. Well, you know, I want to be a lone wolf. Well, you know, lone wolf is the one who kicked out of the path.
Right.
The lone wolf is not like...
not something to be bragged about.
Yeah. He's the one that was rejected by the whole pack. He was rejected. He's off by himself, and he usually ends up dying.
Right.
Because he had no support of the pack.
Exactly.
And that's where organization is the support that allows people to stay in the movement and continue to grow. People try to go out on their own. After a couple of years, they get discouraged and quit.
Yeah, we always talk about the white people don't stick together, and that involves in this type of field. Is with an organization, white people can stick together. There's a feeling of community, feeling of family, and a feeling of being part of something dynamic. And so when you're involved in an organization, you're being surrounding yourself with other like-minded men and women that want to preserve our race and culture. And if you're out there on the lone wolf, that's all it is.
I'm not sure what a lone wolf is.
I don't know either.
You know.
So often people think lone wolf is like someone who's just going against the system and all that. Well,
no.
It means someone that really has no forethought in anything. They don't have an agenda. They don't have a program. They have nothing. They're just kind of out there like a ping pong machine going back and forth, and they really have no direction.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's the thing. And so that's not something to be proud of or bragging about.
Right.
And so when you're involved in an organization like the Knights, that is something to be proud of, because you can see the history. You can see the legitimacy. You can stability.
Let's take up when the we go went to war against let's say the American Revolution,
right?
Or let's say war against Germany. You know, and I know we got different arguments about Germany and going on and our calls. And I'm not looking at any of those philosophical reasons about the war, just war itself. Okay, right. People want to go to war. Did the American army say we're going to raise an army of lone wolves? Everybody's just going to do their own thing.
Right.
What kind of effect would that have happened?
Exactly.
You know, you get them together, and you organize, you develop strategy, and you follow leadership, and you go as a block against your enemy.
Right.
You don't just say, we're going to raise an army of 50,000 lone wolves. Go out and do your thing, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And yet that's what some people, white nationalist movement, advocating. I'm going to be a lone wolf. Go out and do my thing. Well, yeah, okay, great.
Right.
You know, what success that's going to have?
You're not stirring the masses up, and that's what you're trying. You're trying to reach the masses of people.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to reach your fellow white brothers and sisters. And you can't do it just by yourself. It has to be an organization that has a concerted effort in reaching the hearts and souls of our people. And that is what is needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jason, I think we're about out of time. According to our little computer clock, we got 1 minute. So
we will see you next Saturday. Those listening to us, we'll see every one of you. Make sure.
We have taken a break on our White Resistance News and our Wake Up America over a conference, all that. But we're starting up Monday. We're back on schedule. So
stay tuned.
If you wonder where we've been at, that's what it is. You know, again, we would like to do more, but we do what we can. We remain faithful and continue on in the struggle. We appreciate your help.
Sounds great.
So we'll be back on Monday with our regular show broadcasting. Of course, this broadcast is got interrupted last Saturday, but outside of that, we have kept this going. But anyway, we do appreciate you all listening out there. Be sure to, if you're not a member of the Knights, you're welcome to join up. You'll be great to have you. Or check it out. Just spend some time. Pray about it. And if you don't want to join, that's okay. We're still white brothers and sisters. We're still on the same team. Whether you're a member of the Knights or not, we're all on the same team. And if you want to help us out, send a contribution. Hit that donate button. We appreciate it. You don't have to be a member to donate. You just have to be somebody who cares about the future of our children. So, any last words?
All right.
Well, until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
Jason Robb.
And we're reminding you to love your God and to love your people.